Hello, everybody. Welcome back again to Last Christian. We're going to have another exciting show because we're going to be learning more about Genesis. It is me, David Paxson from New York City, and of course, the founder and co-host of the show, J.D. Williams. J.D., welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, David. This is going to be a very interesting show, I know. It is our weekly comprehensive verse-by-verse Bible study with Mr. David Paxson. And David, I usually don't bring about news on your show, but I'm going to make an exception, and I'm only going to do one news story because I think it's important for everybody in the United States to hear this, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, okay?
I like it.
Now, you know that the primaries are underway, caucuses are underway. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, the only remaining Republican challenger to President Trump was on the ballot in Nevada for the Nevada primary. Now, in Nevada, it's kind of weird because in Nevada, the primary wins you zero delegates. So Trump decided he wasn't even going to participate in the primary. He saw no reason to do it. Nikki Haley, on the other hand, she wanted to jump into it, and she wanted to be a part and, you know, in other words, she wanted to see if she couldn't, like, run up the score or something like that. And anyway, there he is. You're back. I took you out there just for a second, David. But anyway, she decided that she was going to run up the score Tuesday in advance of tonight's Thursday primary, or I'm sorry, caucus. And Trump is in the caucus, but Nikki Haley decided that she wasn't going to be. But she figured that, you know, by winning enough in the primary that people would write her name in, or, you know, get her going in the caucus and maybe pull off a surprise. Okay. So anyway, that's a backdrop of this. Now, I want to play this one for you because this actually happened today. And this is kind of weird. But anyway, listen to this.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley has requested Secret Service protection due to a rise in security threats, as reported in several sources this week.
The request follows two recent swatting incidents at Haley's residence on Kiawah Island, one of which occurred while her elderly parents and their caregiver were present. In these incidents, police arrived with drawn guns in response to false reports of violence, known as swatting. Haley's call for protection underscores the escalating security concerns for public figures. Liam White reporting.
Okay, now, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I'm sure you know who Robert Kennedy Jr. is. Robert RFK Jr. He requested Secret Service protection, and President Biden turned him down. He did not allow him to have Secret Service protection. Now, nothing's ever happened.
Running against him in the Democratic Party.
Nothing has ever happened to a Kennedy in our history, like the 1963 assassination of John F. Kennedy or the 1968 assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. And now Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is asking for protection. He didn't get anything. But I'm sure Biden will give Nikki Haley as much as she wants. Now, here's the funny thing. This is what I want everybody to see. This happened at the primary last night. Check this out real quick. This is a Republican primary, and you can see the projected winner is none of the candidates winning in the Nevada primary. In other words, Nikki Haley, who polled at 30.5%, lost to none of these candidates, who scored 63.2% of the vote. And then the rhino, traitor, coward, Mike Pence, he got 4%. Okay, so anyway, and you want to comment on that or just blow off and go on?
Yeah, imagine losing to none of the above.
And she's going to hang in there, too. That's crazy.
That's going to be a running joke for decades. You know that, right? Crap. I lost to none of the above.
All right. Now, listen, for all of you people that are in Nevada, the caucuses are going on as we speak. So get out there and write in whoever that you want to, or you can, of course, select the name that is on the ballot. And this is the one that I think that you ought to vote for, and that is the 45th president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump, who I endorse wholeheartedly. Okay, with that, David, it is all yours. I'll stay out of the way now. Here you go.
Oh, this is fun. All right. So we're going to start a little bit earlier in time than that. We're going to go right back to the beginning again.
Oh, good.
All right. So this is fun. We've been studying Genesis chapter 1, and we've got into verses 1 and 2. And we're going to touch a little bit on verse 3 tonight, but it's more of a bigger picture, which is really what I wanted everybody to see. So we're going to go from here and go out. And, just to let everybody know, this is the foundational passage of the entire word, okay? Not only the Bible, but all of history, which is why it takes so long. It's not every single verse throughout the book is not going to take this long.
Right.
We'd be here forever.
Yeah.
But it is kind of funny to think that. So, but the foundational stuff that's here, we really got to get a good picture of it. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today. And it talks about, in Genesis, it's always about going from a state of chaos to a state of order.
Right.
And you'll see that. And that's what it was. And it's not necessarily chaos in a bad thing, but just not assembled yet. Like right. when you go to IKEA, right. And you get everything. It's in a box. You got to put it together yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of along those lines when you read Genesis. Hey, listen, God has all this cool stuff. Now he's putting it together to make a time-space matrix for us to live in, a nice continuum, which is some of the things we're going to get into today, is dimensions and the dimensionality and how dimensions are actually in the Bible. So if we see God divided the light from the darkness, so the light is a sense of order and structure. Because light actually is the formation of all things of matter and energy, as a matter of fact. And we know that God is the light. So it is God himself that is the universe matrix that we live in. But not only that, he's also holding it together from the outside. So he is the eternal God. So we'll start there. As people say, oh, the Big Bang. We say, that's how things came into existence. But then when you ask them, okay, well, where did matter come from? Well, no, it was just kind of, matter just came into existence. Well, it had to come from somewhere. Matter, because it is a thing. And then space itself, people don't realize this, but before this, or there technically there is no before. This is the beginning. This is
right,
it.
Right.
So there's no before because time didn't even exist. And that's what's kind of weird. We have a hard time saying, saying, hey, time didn't exist. Not only that, space didn't exist. So,
okay, David, I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to understand something. I've got to be very, very careful in this, okay? Because this involves a family member of mine, okay? I got an email, and I don't even know how to reply to this. So I'm asking kind of for your suggestion on this, because I know the Christian, okay, but this particular belief really bothers me, and that is that Adam was already in existence before God put him on the earth and breathed into life into his nostrils. That he was already in heaven, and then he was just down.
That's interesting, because it's not that he was here, but he was already conceived of and written about, because the Bible does say, we were in his book. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the book is a contract that he lays out, and
right.
people, you'll be able to get my book, Generational Contracts. Mm-hmm. And we'll delve into that a little bit. So as far as him actually being here, no. As far as him being conceived in the mind of God, therefore, he kind of was here then, because he was mm-hmm. conceived in the mind of God in eternity, mm-hmm. as were all of us.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So it really depends on what side of the eternity you're standing on.
Yeah. Yeah. And like so I said, it was just, that one hit me, and I was like, no, that's just not right. But like I said,
side, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your impression on that. That's all. I'm sorry for interrupting, but that was personal. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Well, they don't really do impressions, but I could try Groucho Marx.
Okay.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Okay.
So the from our side of this right now, we are in this time space continuum that and you'll see there's four of them that we're allowed to touch right now. Yes, Adam was created at that point, okay, on day six.
Right.
All right.
Right. I agree.
But in the eternal realm, you know, if he's going back to eternity, like we are, we're heading into eternity, our spirits are eternal, then are we created at that point?
We don't understand. We just don't understand.
But that's what makes it cool, because that's kind of where we're going with all of this. Now, there's so many things I don't even know where to start. Let's start with, he said light. Here's the light, separated the light from the darkness. Now, light has this unique quality. I know we talked about this before, of being both a particle and a wave. And I forget who it was. Let me see. Let me look it up. It was a guy. He won the Nobel Prize for proving that, that it was a particle. And then his son won the Nobel Prize for proving it was a wave.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the weirdest thing. There's a guy like Bohr, Niels Bohr was, he was the one that brought about the point that it says particles don't really exist unless you're watching them. Otherwise it acts like a wave. Huh. So it's just really weird. Subparticles only come into existence when someone is watching it.
Hmm.
Other than that, they don't exist.
That's weird.
Isn't it?
That's weird.
Because, and it they somehow know when you're watching them. And then when you're not watching them, and they're just over there, they actually act like waves. And that's proven, because they do this slit thing. Now here's a cool part. Light particles are like that, but all subatomic particles have a similar attribute. They're particles and waves, which is something we can't even fathom.
Right.
But that's the whole idea of subspace and all these other dimensions that people realm. Now we call it the spiritual dimension. And so there's a lot of things that come into it, but that's one of them. They behave like particles when you're watching them. They behave like waves when you're not, because they can go through. You can look up this the slit experiment. They actually put two slits in a piece of cardboard or paper, and the light will go through both of them at the same time. Then it'll be. It's really weird and independent, and then they can come back together and it causes interference. There's a whole lot of quantum physics stuff in there that's just going to mess with your head. Just know that from a creation point of view, the physicists can't figure this out.
Yeah.
Now, there was also this dude named Nachmanides. Okay. Not Maimonides. It's a different guy, but he was up at the same place. But there's, Nachmanides, and N-A-C-H. But basically, he was a revered rabbi, and he was venerated. So all of his reading of Genesis chapter 1, what we're reading now, he surmised from that there was 10 dimensions of existence. Okay? And this was back in the 1300s. So he got that from Genesis, and now we spend billions and billions of dollars, and guess what we found out?
That there's 10 dimensions.
That there's 10 dimensions in quantum physics, and four of them are knowable, and the other six are not knowable because they're subatomic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But we spent all this money, and this guy read it in the Bible, 800 years ago, whatever it was.
That's great.
So it's really cool. So we can go into those, some call them the string theory, and there's a lot of different speculations on how they pan out. But the bottom line is this. That's what we would call the spiritual dimensions. Now, you're familiar with UFOs, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't believe in them, but yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Well, here's the thing. They're If you look up L.A. Marzulli, he's a friend of mine. We do a lot of work together on different things. So he has extensive research and talks about these beings that come out and they say they're aliens. Well, he's got case after case after case after case after case of alien abductions, quote. Okay. But he tells people all the time, people, they're not aliens. They are not from other planets. Okay. They're interdimensional beings, what we would call angels.
Yeah, that's just going to say.
However, if they're bad, they would be the fallen variety of angels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the fallen angel is different than a demon. Most people don't realize that. A fallen angel is actually an angel who left his first estate. It's a oiketerion. So he left his first estate. God said, okay, you're going to live here and do this. And they're like, no, we want to go down and, you know, have these women and feel everything you're feeling. And we want to create our own race. Well, God's like, well, you can't do that. So if you read the book of Enoch, you'll read about the 200 of them that came down and did all that. And then they created the offspring. Same thing they're doing now. They were messing with the DNA to try and create their own race.
Yeah.
And they created basically three different races. And that's why God had to destroy it. You know, in chapter six, we're gonna hear like one sentence about the Nephilim.
Yeah, one sentence. That's crazy.
Where's the rest of it?
Yeah.
Well, you can read that in the book of Enoch. So that was there. And he's like, okay, just read it over there. But right now, just suffice it to say, this is what they did. But those are half-breeds. Okay, so those are half-angel, half-humans, the Nephilim. Those are demons. Okay. Demons require a body where fallen angels do not. Angels do not require a body because they live in those spiritual realms, these other six dimensions that we don't have access to.
So now do the I know good angels can take on any kind of form, multiple forms.
Correct.
Anyway. Is it the same thing with the bad ones?
Yeah, they have the same abilities. It's just their fate is sealed.
Yeah.
And they will be heading to the lake of fire.
Yeah.
And hell was created for them, actually.
Right.
It was not created for mankind.
Right.
It was created for them, and people unfortunately choose to go there with them.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's kind of the problem. But I think it's important, you know, even from the beginning here, we see what we read in Jubilees that the angels were created on day one.
Right.
In Jubilees chapter two, all the angels were created on day one. So they were there to be able to see day three when he laid the foundations of the earth. Yeah. That's when he created the land and whatnot. Yeah. But along the way, Satan deceived a bunch of them. And now these are the fallen angels. And then you got Azazel and all the other bullies. And they were in ranks. And you can see them throughout Enoch as well. And the Book of the Giants has a little bit about it too, but we only have very small sections of that.
Right.
So, but they live in the other realms. So now when you got these other dimensions, they're interdimensional. They're able to pop in and out of this dimension.
Okay.
It's like if you have flat people, here they are. They live in two dimensions. They're flat. I can come from the third dimension, and I can come from the outside and touch anywhere on here. So you could be over here in this two dimensions, and I could be way over here, and we don't even know one of us is there.
Yeah.
But someone outside a dimension can touch both of us at the same time, like God.
Okay.
So God's outside it. He could be super close to me and super close to you at the same time, even though we're on opposite ends of the globe.
Right.
Okay. Right. And that's kind of the idea with these other dimensions. Now, there's a reason he kind of blocked us out, because those are subatomic, so they get into the eternal realm. They get outside of our time-space continuum. So let's go back, you know, to Genesis 1, where he's talking about he separated the light from the darkness, and then he said, okay, let everything be. So light came into existence. The land came into existence. The time-space continuum came into existence. At that point, this is what we are in right now. We measure everything by the speed of light.
Right.
Okay. So time is measured by the speed of light. So when the Bible says the end of days, he'll speed up everything for the elect's sake. He'll shorten the days. So if time, I mean, if the speed of light is slowing down, time by necessity would speed up.
Okay.
And that's what we see. You can look that up. Look up, the sea is slowing down, and that just makes sense because of, entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. Mm-hmm. Everything is slowing down and decaying. So the speed of light is getting slower and slower, which when you extrapolate back, it was actually 10 to the 10th. So that's 10 billion times faster than it is now, which would give credence to the distance that we see the stars are this far away. Well, that light would have been 10 billion times faster. So clearly we could see that light, and they're not as far away as we think they are, because we're measuring it by the speed of light today. When you get to the subatomic particles, they seem to come outside of that time-space continuum. So they're outside of time, which is why you see quantum entanglement. Mm-hmm. So if I could twist a particle here and it's entangled with another one there, it doesn't matter. They can be on the other side of the galaxy.
Yeah,
and
that's still crazy to me. It's hard to even fathom.
Yeah, because they're literally outside of our matrix. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's where we are here. Where God created these 10 dimensions for us to live in. And if you read into the narrative later, you'll see that, hey, we walked in the garden with him. We talk with him, and we were like him. So we glow in the dark. We can just appear in different places. Mm-hmm. So that flat, we can jump out of one spot and go over here. Mm-hmm. And, they try and figure that, like the warp fields and the wormholes that you see in Star Trek and space movies. They're trying to figure out, well, how could this be possible?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's literally their other dimensions. So they got somewhat of a touch on it. But just the fact that they're trying to figure it out means it must be there.
Yeah.
Because we're not trying to figure out things that, have no possibility of existence.
Right, right. Makes sense.
Well, why would we even think of that? So there are other dimensions where we could pop in and pop into another one. And even the idea of warp speed, it's like, okay, we're going to warp time and space to go through it. That's how you can get faster than the speed of light.
Yeah.
But they still use the fact that it's speed. Oh, it's warp one or warp two or warp three.
Yeah.
Because it's X amount. It's logarithmic as well, the warp, So, the one is like, twice the speed of light. And then warp two is 10 times the speed of light. And warp three is 100 times the speed of light, et cetera. So just like an earthquake scale. That's the warp stuff. Because how much of a geek I am. But they're trying to figure this stuff out. All right. Here's the problem. God kept us out of that realm. And there's a reason for it. Okay. Originally, we were in that realm. But there, because of sin, there was a fracture, so to speak. Okay. And that fracture is saying, okay, you are going to be now living in the physical realm of these dimensions. Mm-hmm. We're going to separate that from the spiritual realm. When we're perfect, we can live in both of them together.
Makes a lot of sense, because when you look at it from what happens in the future, when we come back with Christ and during the 1,000-year reign, it makes perfect sense. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad we don't have that right now, because there's some bad people that I'm glad that they're where they're at and I'm where I am.
And even more than that, there will be a judgment.
Yes.
Okay. And this is where we're at. Now, at the end of all this, when we get into the 1,000-year reign, he's going to fix a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And then after that, when we get into the eternal realm, because that 1,000-year reign is the seventh day of creation, that 7,000th year of history, that's the rest day, and the earth will rest. He's going to restore a lot of things to the way they were before the flood. That's why men will live right through the 1,000 years, they'll live right through, and Jesus will rule and reign on the earth, because he has already proven that us as men cannot rule ourselves.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But then he says there's a new heaven and a new earth. And then he says, then the tree of life will be there again. Well, what happened to the tree of life before that? As we read, in chapter 3 here, he put a flaming sword.
My question throughout time as you're looking for that is, does that still exist? Or, and we just don't know it, or what? What happened to that thing?
The flaming sword?
Yeah. What happened to that? You know, where you can't get back into the Garden of Eden. I mean,
check it out. It's still there.
Okay. Because that's always, that's been a lifelong question for me.
Wow.
I see you digging.
Yeah. I'm like,
I told you, I come up with some wild ones every now and then. That's one of them right there. That's proof.
Oh, I see what happened. I'm doing a search, and I'm like, what's going on here?
Okay. Makes sense.
Ah, there we go. Okay. All right. So, yeah, Genesis 3:24. So here we are. Adam and Eve sinned. Got, you know, now he'll know good and evil. Man has become one of us to know good and evil unless he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life. There's the key right there. Mm-hmm. All right. So the tree of life is a literal tree, but it has meaning to it. Okay. That's Kai. It's a tree of eternal life. Okay.
Yeah.
And right. That's what it was. So here's a tree. In other words, he created this tree for us when we're in eternity. This is the fruit we're going to be eating forever, but it also represents this is eternal life. Mm-hmm. So if we read this in Genesis 3:22, we'll start. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, mm-hmm. talking about God, to know good and evil. Mm-hmm. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, get out quick to till the ground where he was taken. Get out of the garden. Don't eat that tree of life.
Yeah.
You already screwed up and ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Don't eat that.
Yeah.
So he drove out the man and he placed the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. Okay, so cherubim, which is plural. So here's all these angels, and they have a flaming sword, which
all right,
turned.
David, I gotta cut you off. We're down to 10 seconds. Fine. So we're gonna pick this right back up right after the break. Hang in there with us. We'll be right back.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Simon Gaitan. Internet services have been suspended across Pakistan on Thursday as voting begins to elect a new government. Officials say it is due to heightened security concerns. Pakistan's poll body claims the Election Commission did not instruct the government to cut off internet services. Hira Mustafa reports from Islamabad.
Pakistan's Interior Ministry says it decided to temporarily suspend mobile internet services nationwide as a result of terror incidents in the country. It says these security measures are essential to maintain law and order and to deal with possible threats. Voters claim this is impacting their ability to cast their ballots freely. Experts claim jailed Prime Minister Imran Khan's party PTI would be the most affected by the move, as it has relied heavily on social media to reach out to young voters. Hira Mustafa, Islamabad.
The average global temperature has for the first time breached the 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels mark for an entire year, as 2024 saw the hottest January on record. Scientists say the world is now closer to breaching the critical 2 degrees Celsius warming mark, which the 2015 Paris Accords considered a tipping point. Ishan Garj has more from Brussels.
Copernicus Climate Change Service says the global mean temperature between February 23 to January 24 was the highest ever at 15.02 degrees. That means the average temperature across the globe rose by 1.52 degrees compared to pre-industrial levels. In 2015, world leaders agreed to keep global warming well below 2 degrees Celsius and to aim for only 1.5 degrees. The 2-degree mark is believed to be the tipping point after which many impacts of climate change could become irreversible. Ishan Garg, Brussels.
Russia's Election Commission has barred opposition challenger Boris Nadezhdin from standing in the upcoming presidential election. The country's electoral authority cited irregularities in the signatures submitted in support of his presidential bid. The Kremlin claims the election committee had followed the rule of law and had nothing to add. Our correspondent Daria Bundachuk reports from Moscow.
Russia's election committee said it had found too many irregularities in over 100,000 signatures in support of Boris Nadezhdin's presidential bid submitted in accordance with the election law. Nadezhdin was the only candidate who was openly advocating to end Russia's operation in Ukraine. The election authority announced Thursday that registered candidates from the three parties currently represented in the Russian parliament will be on the ballot. They will stand against the incumbent president Vladimir Putin, who is running as an independent candidate. Boris Nadezhdin said he would challenge the ruling against his candidacy in the country's Supreme Court. Daria Bondarchuk, Moscow.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Okay, folks, we are back. And time is the bane of our existence on radio shows.
For real.
So I like when we can just ramble on forever, but sometimes they go on for 3 or 4 hours and that could get boring.
Well, so I'm gonna interrupt you real quick for a purpose. Okay. And for those people that are interested, and I hope a bunch of you are, we're going to be at a conference in April. David's going to tell you about it real quick. And he's also going to tell you about how you can save some money too. Go ahead, David.
Okay. So we are going to be at Hear the Watchman. That's in Dallas, Texas. And that's going to be April 5th through the 8th. Now, there's a couple ways you can get there. One of them is you can buy an in-person ticket, which I highly recommend because both JD and I will be there. We'll be doing some radio shows. I'll be speaking at the event. You're going to want to hear what I have to say. It's really going to change your life on a lot of different levels. Talking about generational contracts, and that's going to be good for the things that are coming up. Amen. Very soon. So it's hearthewatchmen.com, and you can go on there and you can log in now. If you use the phrase last Christian, one word let together, last Christian, you will get $10 off.
That's okay? 20%. And you can either, 20% off the
right
ticket
now price. On the streaming. Now, they're going up in the middle of February. I mean, it's getting close where the prices are going up. Mm-hmm. But even after that, you could still use Last Christian to get your $10 off. But if you get them ahead of time, they're a little less expensive. Right. Now, I highly recommend you get there in person. But even if you can't, get the live stream because you'll be able to hang on to them forever. Right. And, you know, what's fun is you have, a party. Just have them come over and say, hey, we're going to learn about prophetic events, what they mean. And just have a whole bunch of people over. You can all watch the one live stream. Not everyone has to buy it. You just come over. Yeah. You have a nice party. Tell everyone else to bring food because it's your house, so they have to bring food.
There you go. And you can even charge them admission if you want to. All right. okay, David, with that, I just wanted to make sure people knew about that because it's really important. And those, you've got to get that discount before February the 15th, if I'm not mistaken. February 15th.
Yeah, you'll be able to use a discount afterwards, but the low introductory price is until February 15th.
Yeah, and I would personally, I'm always interested in taking discounts. Okay, David, you're up. Go ahead. Let's get back to people are here to hear. Go ahead.
Okay. So we were talking about the flaming sword, which turned every which way, and the cherubim in front of the garden. And what is that all about? Okay, so it's definitely a real tree, definitely real angels. Okay, but everything has meanings. Just like Nachmanides found 10 dimensions in here, they also believe, for very good reason, as do I believe, there's basically 10 meanings found throughout the Bible and everything that it says. Okay, there's the surface meaning, there's like a metaphorical meaning, there's just at least 10 different dimensions of meaning that God wrote into the word. And you could just look at your DNA and you can see that they haven't even begun to figure out how DNA works. But if you can just imagine this kind of a thing, if you read it one way, it says it's got the directions on how to put that together. You read it backwards, it reads as a list of parts. If you read like every other letter, which parts go first, and then and then you flip it over and it's in French and it says how to reconstitute this. And it's just no matter what you do, there's language and intelligence built into the DNA and made it so compact with 3.2 billion letters in one strand of DNA.
Wow. Man, it's crazy.
So if he could do that with your DNA, I'm sure he can put 10 dimensions in every word that we read. So I look at it because it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the honor of kings to seek it out. So I'm a king. If he's the king of kings, then I'm a king.
There you go. There you go. I like
there
that.
There we too. Go. Like yeah. Yep. All right. Hello, King JD.
There you go. I'll probably be in charge two or three kindergartners when, you
know. At least. So when we see the dimensions that are here, sin happened, and here we are at sin. So we saw right from the beginning, we're in verse Genesis 1, 1 and 2, light, darkness, he separated them. So these are all the sub dimensions that we see. All particles, we'll just reiterate it, all the particles have both particle and wave properties. If you're looking at them, they act like particles. If you're not looking at them, they act like waves.
Okay. Yeah, right? Yeah, which you're right. It's mind-blowing, yeah.
Yeah, way beyond our comprehension. Matter of fact, I forgot the dude's name. He actually killed himself because of that, because he couldn't figure out the quantum mechanics. And even Einstein, let's just dig into that before we get into the Tree of Life.
Okay.
So Einstein kind of flipped out, all right, because he couldn't figure out. Now, Niels Bohr, B-O-H-R, he's like, yeah, these are particles, but only when you're watching them. And Einstein's like, there's no way that could be. So he was trying to figure out with his, you know, theory of relativity, how can this possibly be? And he was befuddled. He called it creepy action at a distance. That's what he called
it. It's a good definition, but, yeah.
Yeah. I like quantum entanglement. That sounds cool.
Yeah, that's good too. Right?
Well, the reason he couldn't figure that out is because he says, if that's the case, then theoretically, these particles can travel faster than the speed of light, which gives us a time paradox, because that's how we measure time. If you really could travel faster than the speed of light, then you could go back in time. Because if I shine a light here and then I go faster than the speed of light and I'm over here, that light didn't shine yet.
Didn't Einstein come up with something like that where he thought you could maybe get up in space and go with the opposite way or something? I don't know. Something I remember from school.
So, and the funny thing about the dimension of time is we can only go forward and look back. We can't go backwards and look forward.
Yeah.
It's like a one-dimensional thing for us. And this is what he's talking about when he's here at blocking off the tree of life, because that's the eternal tree of eternal life.
Gotcha.
All right.
Gotcha.
We cannot. We're stuck here, okay? Yeah. Because he's like, no, you're not going back, and you can't see what's ahead of you. We're stuck right here.
Yeah.
In eternity, we can jump all over the place, like we saw with Mr. and Mrs. Flack.
Okay, makes sense. Okay.
Okay. So we'll be able to do that once we're in eternity. One of the things I have on my list is I want to go back and see the crucifixion and the resurrection, if I can jump in and out of the time-space continuum.
Yeah.
I won't go back. Let's go back and look. Let's see what Adam did.
Yeah.
The Red Sea. How'd that happen? Let me see what happened over here.
That would be cool.
All right.
We'll go
back and look.
Yeah.
So, but Einstein couldn't fathom that. So he kind of went a little nutty with that too. And so the problem was they viewed it as separate particles, but they are indeed quantum entanglement. Okay.
Okay. Gotcha.
And even there's this Caltech physicist, Richard Feynman, and this is what he summed it up to be. I think we talked about this too. I think it is safe to say that no one understands quantum mechanics.
I don't.
Okay. In fact, and here's a physicist saying it.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it is often stated that of all the theories proposed in this century, the silliest is quantum theory.
Mm.
Some say that the only thing that quantum theory has going for it, in fact, is that is unquestionably correct.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It is, because everything we do today is based on quantum theory. All our GPS, the fact that we're on the internet talking right now, it's all based on quantum theory and how these particles work. Lasers, everything, the Planck length. We talked about Planck and everything being a digital universe.
Yeah.
Every last thing pans out, okay? And quantum theory is ridiculous. How can it be a particle and a wave? It just is, all right? Because that's how it works out. Every single thing you do based on quantum theory and the equations and whatnot works.
Yeah.
All right. And it's the same thing with the rapture. It is the silliest idea. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, it is unquestionably correct. Yeah. That's the way God operates.
Amen. Amen.
That's just the way he operates. He's like, yeah, let me do something that you're not going to understand so you know that I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Mm-hmm. So we see this, and now sin came along. Here's all these dimensions, particles, subatomic particles, quantum entanglement. We can be over here in a split second. We can be on the other side of the Milky Way because of quantum entanglement. But God, in his wisdom and in his mercy, says, we're not going to have that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Okay. Because we just read that in Genesis 3:22. The man has become as one of us to know good and evil. All right. So he knows evil.
Yeah.
Basically, it says he knows the difference now and he knows what it means to be evil, where we didn't know that before, or Adam didn't know that before.
Right.
He didn't know what it meant to be evil, but now he does. So that's a problem. If he eats of the tree of eternal life, he would be stuck in eternity being evil.
Ooh, that's not good.
So that's what he said, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Okay. God in his mercy said, I am not going to let you get stuck in eternity being evil.
So God was actually merciful when he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden.
Correct. People think he's being mean. No, he's in his mercy because now he has a plan. I have to fix this. I have to judge evil.
Okay.
Okay. So he comes in and he's and a righteous judge.
Just a quick point. God was not surprised. I want to make, I think it's important to always point this out. None of the stuff that's happened that happens from Adam and Eve till the present day, nothing surprises God. God knew about it before he even created the world in the first place.
Right. And that was our very first show. Before the foundation of the world, God was slain. In the beginning, God, you know, the firstborn son of the father was destroyed by the work of his own hands on a cross. It was written from the beginning because he knew what would happen.
Amen.
Because remember, he's eternal.
Right.
So he built in this plan. All right. Here's the plan. He's going to fracture the dimensions. Okay, Adam, you are not allowed to get into the subatomic, the spiritual dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed in that eternal realm until I can fix this.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
That's why he placed these angels with a flaming sword, which I believe is not, you know, just a flame. It's literally talking about, you know, the electronic realm. So here is this basically plasma realm, and it's keeping us stuck in these four dimensions, time and the three dimensions of space.
Okay.
We are here. That's why we're experiencing this. That's why there's decay. That's why everything's falling apart, because God in his mercy blocked us from the eternal realm, the spiritual realm, until such a time when he can send his son from outside the eternal realm into it, become a man, fulfill that contract that he made, and say, I'm going to pay for all your sins, because contract law says a man has to pay for the sins of a man. Mm-hmm. So he had to come, he had to be eternal and come from the outside in. He couldn't be stuck in here with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He had to be eternal and come from the outside in. That's why, you know, John talks about, you know, that this is how you know the Antichrist. They say Jesus didn't come in the flesh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the Antichrist, because now you're stuck here in this time-space continuum with no escape. And once you get to the eternal realm, you're stuck with your evil because it's not paid for. God in his mercy said, I'll pay for your evil so you can again be perfect. That's why we see the tree of life again at the end of the millennium, because now we have the tree of life and it blooms every month and it has 12 different fruits. That's a tree of life. And he's talking, you know, literal fruits, but it mm-hmm. also has other meanings because mm-hmm. that's government and judgment. 12 is government language.
Okay.
So in his mercy, in his grace, in his love for us, he kept us and said, stop.
Right.
Don't eat that. Mm-hmm. Stay out of the eternal realm. I'll come and fix this. Mm-hmm. Then you can come home with me.
Right.
Then we'll have all these 10 dimensions again. What a beautiful thing. Because now we see him as dull in a mirror and a glass. But then we will see him as he is. We will see him face to face.
Amen.
That's going to be an amazing thing. Yes, now, since the word is a contract, we need corroborating evidence, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at Proverbs, since it's the next book along the way. We're going to take a look at Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll start right in the beginning. All right? Okay. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Okay? So he's got this book. This is a contract. All right? Keep the law. Hey, do this. Here's the law. Here's the contract. All right? Why? Well, it says here, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. So people think, oh, that's nice. You're going to have a nice, peaceful, long life. Well, let's look at it. All right. It literally says in verse 2, for length of days.
Okay.
All right, so what does that mean? Well, the word is orek. Yeah.
The word's what?
Orek.
Okay.
O-R-E-K. Okay. Ek. I put And it literally means long, just long. Okay. So, but here's the thing. There's two different things here. The Hebrew is very, very particular with how it writes. And it's creating a concept here, but there's two different concepts. That's how it does it. It says length of days, and that word is yom, and it's literally a day in the fact that, hey, it's either the daytime where we have the heat, so the heat of the day, or that 24-hour cycle that we have.
Right.
So you can look at it just like we do in English, day. Mm-hmm. Hey, one day, okay, is that 24 hours or is that the daytime? Mm-hmm. Same idea. So, but it literally says length of days. Now, remember, we talked about as you approach the speed of life, time slows down, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, because of the relativity. So as you're approaching, are we approaching the light of the world if we keep his law and our heart keep his commandments?
Well,
so now as we approach light himself, he literally gives us longer days. So that's the, when people say, oh, well, the lame excuse is, oh, I don't really have time to pray. It's an investment.
Yeah.
If you put a half hour in, you're going to get an hour back.
Yeah. This is true. It really does work that way. For anybody out there that doesn't believe what David just said, give it a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I can tell you. Yeah.
Yes. Start Great with challenge. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, you say, oh, I don't even have 10 minutes to do this. Put 10 minutes in. See what happens.
Right.
All right? Trust me. You will have longer days
because
you are approaching light himself, the personification of light.
Well, I know there is no way, David, that I could do what I do for this show. No chance of me getting it done unless what you just said is 100% true. Okay? I'll say that. And anybody, I'll let somebody sit in my office and watch me if they want to, and they will see that it is impossible to do. Anyway, go ahead.
I often do three impossible things before breakfast. Alice in Wonderland. So the length of your days will be longer. Now we're jumping right back to quantum entanglement, and here we are with all this. Now you're living in that eternal realm. Mm-hmm. So you literally will have longer days and long life. So again, that now this means it says long life, but it really means years mm-hmm. of life. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. as you approach him, it also make you healthier. All right. Because you're at peace. You have mm-hmm. shalom, which we see next. Mm-hmm. You'll have the peace of God and you'll know who he is. And it literally means years, you know, because that's shana. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Okay. So years. So it's a revolution of time, years of life. And gotcha. Life is chai. And that's where we get chava from, to be. It says life. So your life, it literally means you'll have years of life and longer days. It's two different things. Right. But people combine them. Oh, yeah, they're just two different ways to say the same thing. No, it's two different things. You have right. longer days mm-hmm. and years of life.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's really cool. All goes back to quantum mechanics. It's wonderful. Now, if we go to Ephesians, check this out. We're in chapter 3. And let me see the whole family. Let me see where I want to start. We're going to, our crux is in 18, but we're going to start a little earlier. Okay. All right. All right. Let's start in verse 10. And it okay. says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So here we are. Here's our story background. Principalities and powers. Now, where do they reside?
Well, it's countries, right? Different
in
countries.
In the spiritual realm. They're principalities and powers. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers.
I got you. Okay. I'm sorry. Yep.
All right. So here we are talking spiritual stuff. Mm-hmm. And their powers in heavenly places. So now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God.
Explain
so
that.
So here we are.
Yeah, that one.
Principalities and powers.
Okay.
Heavenly places.
Okay, heavenly, like stars manifold. And stuff, or what? I mean,
stars are kind here. Of, again, they're not the angels, but they represent the angels.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, okay. Same kind of thing, where we okay. see metaphors. And so, yeah, it's a big ball of gas, but it's like, oh, that one is Jim and Bill. Yeah. He named them all.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a lot of names, and they're all different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trillions and trillions of stars. They're all got different names. And that one is, yeah. Yeah. It's like, what?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, so here but we true.
Are. Yeah. Go ahead. Principalities and powers, heavenly places, manifold wisdom of God. These are our bullet points. Okay. Eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
Oh. Now we're getting somewhere. You didn't think that was in Ephesians, talking about quantum mechanics in Ephesians, right? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. All right, now we have access. Now he's saying, now you know. Paul's mm-hmm. talking quantum theory here. Check it out. Confidence, faith in him. Manifold wisdom of God. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Mm-hmm. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father. He's like, listen, they're beating me up because I'm telling you the truth, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the whole family in heaven and earth is named Jesus Christ. It says, from the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're all named after Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So check this out. Here gets a good part. He just set us up there. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, mm-hmm. to be strengthened with the might by his spirit in the inner man.
Inside, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your spirit, okay, mm-hmm. your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, check this out, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Mm. How many dimensions is that?
That's five.
Right? It's four.
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 Four. Four. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Breadth, length, depth, and height. That's the four dimensions. Now, did he know about the four dimensions? The three, height, width, and length, yeah. But now he's talking fourth dimension here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he was quite familiar, clearly, with that. Did he know about the other 10 dimensions? Possibly. If Nachmanides can figure it out in 1300, I'm sure Paul, being as bright as he was, figured out there was probably other dimensions in the flaming. So like everything we're talking about now, he probably knew better than we do.
Right.
And know the love of Christ. See, this is the love of Christ that he broke us off. But the love of Christ is his mercy. The flaming sword, don't eat of eternity until I come back and fix this. This is the love of Christ, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be the glory by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages. But the three the ages, world without end. Here we are in eternity, bro. Do you see this? We've read this for how long? We didn't realize it was a quantum mechanics verse.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's just it just blows my mind.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've never looked at this in this way before. That's the reason that this study is so good, and it is different than any other study that anyone will ever find. I can promise you that, because this is something that's just not taught anywhere else. And I have been to a lot of churches, David, a lot of churches, and never heard this stuff. And a lot of the questions that I had for years, you've answered them in a few short weeks. So I hope people will remember that we have this every it's our midweek show. It's David's show. I ask stupid questions and David gives real answers. That's how it works. Okay. And this is, it is a comprehensive Bible study. And, I hope that you guys will continue to tune in. It is my favorite of the week. Remember, also, if you want to see these in video form, you can always go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. And you can see them all in video form. We do have a YouTube channel. You can go there as well. If you're watching us on YouTube, please do like the video, subscribe to the station, ring the little bell where you'll be notified when new videos come out, and comment. We answer. We had comments just from a previous show not too long ago, and both of us responded to one of our
even snarky comments.
We don't mind. We don't mind. All we ask is, just be respectful of everyone. And that's all we ask. And you're not ever going to see us blast you and say, you're just a complete blithering idiot. We won't do that. But what we will say is, we disagree with you, because all you've got to do to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is simply say a very, very simple prayer to God. Just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose again. And I know he's coming back for his church in that moment that they call the rapture of the church, when he raises every Christian living and dead to meet him in the clouds. And after that comes the great tribulation, 7 years, the worst time the earth has ever seen, and worse than anything it will ever be seen again. And after that tribulation period, then we're coming back with Jesus, and we're going to take back this world, and we will serve with him for 1,000 years before. Yep.
And remember, the rapture is the silliest concept in the Bible, but just like quantum mechanics, it is unquestionably true.
Amen. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition. And David, once again, a great study. Look forward to next week's edition as well. And I know I threw you off a little bit with some crazy questions, but you're used to that too. We will be back in the next show. Is our end of the week show. We hope you'll join us then for the next edition of Last Christian.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.